Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Open up with prayer. We're going to get started here. Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you and praising you for your word. We're so grateful and thankful to you today, Lord God, that you sent your word. You healed us. You delivered us from all our destruction. Your word is life. It's healing. It's medicine to all our flesh today. We thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're the great revealer of all truth, the teacher, the one who teaches us, illuminates, brings revelation, understanding into the heart of each listener. And I ask that you grant me utterance in the Holy Ghost today. Think through my thoughts. Speak through my lips your words in the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we'd like to welcome all those that are online with us this morning. Hallelujah. You're in healing school today. And we always say when it comes to healing school, we want to give you something to do so you can apply the word, so you can do the word, because it's the doers of the word that are what? Blessed in their doings. James chapter 1, verse 22. Hallelujah. So we're going to start out today by making some confessions here when it comes to healing and health and strength according to the Word of God. So I'll read the scripture, you'll hear the scripture, and then we'll make a confession here together. So I'm starting with Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Praise God. Here's our confession. Surely Jesus had borne my sicknesses and diseases.
Surely Jesus had borne my sickness
and carried my pains.
And carried my pain.
He bore them and carried them away to a distance.
I don't have to bear
what Jesus bore for me.
I refuse to bear
what he bore for me.
Satan cannot put on me
what Jesus bore for me.
By his stripes,
I am healed and made whole. Amen. You believe that? We're releasing our faith at the same time that we're confessing these things. We're not just confessing to confess. We're confessing because we believe what we are saying. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. "When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Here's our confession. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He carried away
my sicknesses and diseases.
He bore them away
and removed them.
Disease is not mine.
Healing is mine.
I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan,
you
cannot put disease on me.
I refuse to accept sickness.
I will not tolerate sickness.
Sickness and disease
are totally unacceptable to me. Hallelujah. Here's our next scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Confession. By Jesus' stripes I was healed.
By Jesus' stripes I was healed.
Healing belongs to me.
I was healed 2,000 years ago.
By the stripes Jesus bore.
I'm not trying to get healed.
I've got healing.
Because of his stripes,
I was healed.
Amen. Praise God.
Here's our last scripture this morning in our confession time. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Confession. Sickness is a work of the devil.
Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Sickness has been dissolved,
broken up,
annulled, undone, and liquidated, as far as I'm concerned.
Jesus put sickness to an end for me.
Hallelujah. Now let's thank him and praise him for his word this morning. Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful for your word. Hallelujah. It's life, it's healing, it's medicine to all of our flesh, and we're so grateful and thankful to you today for it. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Well, we have been on the last series we just finished was called Accepting Both. What do you mean accepting both, Pastor Debbie? Well, sometimes healing can be gradual, and sometimes healing can be instantaneous. Sometimes your faith produces a gradual healing or a process healing. Sometimes your faith produces an instantaneous healing. The thing is that we've learned in that series was to what keep the switch of faith turned on, no matter if you see it, feel it. If you don't see it or feel it, you keep the switch of faith turned on by saying with your mouth, which is a vital part of your faith, by saying, I believe I have received my healing. And we said to say with your mouth that you believe it is the healing power of God at work in you, perfecting a cure and wholeness. So that keeps all your thinking, all your speaking lined up with what God has said in it. Accordance with his word when it comes to healing. Once you release your faith and believe you received, and we said whether it was through the prayer of agreement, somebody agreed with you, you believed at that very moment that you prayed, maybe it was the prayer of faith, you believed you received the moment you prayed, maybe it was you came up, you had hands laid on you. One of those areas or either place, maybe you're just sitting there in your seat and you decide to release your faith. You believe you received, you got it. At that very moment, we have to believe that a death blow was struck at that very moment to that circumstance, situation, sickness, and disease, and the power of God was released, and that is what is working in your situation. No matter whether you feel it or see it or not. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And we said in the series before that we talked about a divine strategy, and that was to what? Send out praise ahead of you. When you praise God, it brings his strength into the situation, and what? It silences the mouth of the enemy, of the adversary, and any doubt or unbelief or fear that tries to creep in there and talk you out of your healing or wholeness or what you believe in God for. So we had the divine strategy, we have accepting both, but today when I was seeking the Lord this morning, we're going to start a series called Spiritually Fit.
Are you spiritually fit? Hallelujah. This is the day and time we need to be spiritually fit. Do you know that people spend plenty of money every single year going to fitness centers, going to where they can exercise and build the outward man and get the outward man strong and healthy, exercising it, doing these daily exercises, training that outward man? People can spend plenty of money not only on the outward man, but also in educating the mind, which is nothing wrong with education. I am by no means putting down education. Hallelujah. It's all good. It has its place. But people spend plenty of money every single year going to universities, colleges, taking classes, and filling their minds with the knowledge, natural knowledge. But nobody wants to take the time to become spiritually fit and train and discipline yourself when it comes to spiritual things and spiritual training. It seems to be a lack of it, not enough of it. People don't take it serious. Do you know the adversary that's arrayed against you, he takes his work serious?
He does.
Remember, it's three things about him. He's organized, he's committed, and he's disciplined. Well, how much more should the body of Christ be organized, disciplined, and committed to the things of God? How much more? So are you spiritually fit? We're going to look at this, break it down a whole lot. This might continue for a while, but it's going to be good. I believe it's going to benefit you. It's going to really bless you, help you, maybe help you identify where you are in your spiritual training and fitness. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read a verse together. I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 14. So let's spend our time where we're going to become spiritually fit. Training and exercising ourselves spiritually. Hallelujah. Right here in Proverbs chapter 18, we're looking at verse 14. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. The strong spirit of a man, that means male or female. That word man there means male or female. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Woo, glory, that says a whole lot right there. It says the strong spirit of a man. The Amplified says the strong spirit of a man, that's male or female, sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. What's going to get you through a physical attack? What is going to get you through weakness and bodily pain? It is having a strong spirit. Let me say that again. What's going to get you through a physical attack? What's going to get you through weakness and bodily pain? It says right here in Proverbs 18 and verse 14, the strong spirit of a man. It's a strong spirit. A strong spirit. Look, the devil looks for spiritual weaklings. He looks for, number one, loners. Those who have not committed themselves to a company of believers in their church. Their church is a company of believers, a body of believers where they can get hooked up to and come and be discipled and learn who they are in Christ, what they possess in Christ, what they can do in Christ. Become a discipler of others. Just like Pastor Chris was preaching on Sunday about the power of your testimony, the most important tool to have in your toolbox, ready at all times. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's the spirit. It's your spirit, man, having a strong spirit. The enemy, like I said, he thrives and looks for stragglers, loners, and weaklings. Well, we sure don't want to be weak when it comes to our inward man, our spirit man. We want to have a strong spirit. What does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11? It says, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices. This is no time to be ignorant or unaware or not understanding how our enemy operates. And we know his number one tool is what? Deception. Because if he can deceive you, he can defeat you. You have to let him know that he only wins through bluff and deceit, and he's already a conquered foe, and that you are more than a conqueror. Come on now. It's just the truth. Yes. So look, there are millions of Christians every day that are staying out of church, not reading their Bibles, they're not praying, they're not praising and worshiping God, they're getting weaker every day and they don't even realize it. Come on now. They don't even realize it. And it happens like that because that's how the enemy operates. He's subtle and sly. So eventually he gets you to a weak point, and then all of a sudden all these things start coming against you. Well, the Bible says if we have a strong spirit, we can what? The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble, sickness or disease, you could say. Having a strong spirit. So if we're smart, we're going to take the time to become spiritually fit and strong in our spirits. Spiritually strong. We have to remember that we are more than just a physical body. The physical body is not the real you. The physical body is a house or a shell by which your inward man, the spirit of man, your heart lives in. You have a body and you have a mind, but you are a spirit. And your spirit needs food just like the outward man needs food in order to be strengthened. And it needs to be exercised. We need to build a strong spirit. Just like you can build the outward man and become strong physically, we need to take time to build the inward man and become strong inwardly out of our heart. Inconsistency lies the power. Let me say that again. Inconsistency lies the power. And the consistency of what, Pastor Debbie? Coming to church every week. Every time the doors are open. Pastor Chris and I didn't question or ask ourselves, do we want to go to church tonight? No, we were there every time the doors were open. Consistency lies in power. Coming to church every week. Reading your Bible every day, praying every day, praising and worshiping God unashamedly every day. Come on now. We're talking about a strong spirit. The inward man, spending time to become spiritually fit. Inconsistency lies the power. So we just read right here where it says in Proverbs 18:14, it's the strong spirit. It's the strong spirit that will sustain you in bodily trouble, pain, sickness, disease. It also, I want us to look at another scripture in Proverbs 24. Just go a little bit further here. Proverbs 24, and we're looking at verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint, I'm reading from the Amplified, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. The New Living Translation says, if you fail under pressure, if you fail under pressure, your strength is small. Well, we don't want to faint in the day of adversity because we know the Bible tells us that what? Tests and trials come to us, all of us, as long as we live here on this earth. Tests and trials are going to come. Jesus didn't say, if the storms come, he said, when the storms of life come. So when they come, if our spirit is strong, if we have a strong inward man, a strong spirit, and we've been feeding it and doing what we're going to learn here in this series, then it will sustain you in opposition times. When the attacks try to come against you, whether it's mental, physical, come on now. It'll sustain you. Because we don't want to faint in the day of adversity. We don't want to fail under pressure. No, because our strength is small. No, we want to have a strong spirit.
That's right.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And look at verse 23. So vitally important. We want to be spiritually fit.
Yes.
Proverbs 4 verse 23. Reading from the Amplified. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. Say above all.
Above all
that you guard, for out of it flow what? The springs of life, or the forces of life by which we live by. One of the springs of life is divine health. It says, for out of your what? Out of your heart, out of your spirit, out of the spirit of man, out of the inward man, flow. It says, above everything that you guard, you need to guard your heart. It does matter what you listen to, what you are reading and putting before your eyes, what you are hearing with these ears, what you are, come on now, listening to, talking about, saying, hearing. All of those are gateways into our heart. The ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate. All these are gateways into our heart. But we must what? Guard our heart with all vigilance. Vigilance. Diligence. Vigilance. Be serious about it. Because out of our heart, out of our spirit, out of the inward man flow the springs of life. And one of them is divine health. We want to be spiritually fit. So if our spirit man, the inward man, is woo, if he's strong, because we've been feeding him, feeding the inward man, exercising ourselves. So out of your heart, above all else, we're to guard our hearts. Why? Because out of our heart comes the forces of life. Because out of your heart comes the life that's in your flesh. And the life that's in your flesh comes out of your heart. And guess who lives in your heart? The Lord. He lives by the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit resides in our spirits. So when you got saved and said yes to Jesus, the very life, the very nature, the very ability, come on now, there was emergence. There was an emergence into the human heart of man, into the spirit of man. There was an emergence of God's life, God's ability. Come on now. His life, his ability, his... Oh, boy, boy, boy. God's life, God's nature, God's ability came to live on the inside of you. That life flows into your spirit and out of your spirit into this outward man, the flesh. That life is in your flesh, it comes out of your heart. So the building up of your spirit man is of utmost importance. Every day we need to take the time
We need to take the time to build up our spirit. To build your spirit up strong. Let's turn together to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 6 through verse 8 in the Amplified. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, if you lay all these instructions before the brethren, you will be a worthy steward and a good minister of Christ Jesus, ever nourishing your own self on the truths of the faith. Here we go. Nourishing yourself on the truths of the faith and of the good Christian instruction, which you have closely followed. That's the word of God. Number 7, verse 7, but refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure godless fictions, and mere grandmother's tales and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them, but train yourself toward godliness, piety, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Woo! What does it tell us? It's saying right here in verse 6 and 7. It says, you can choose to listen to the right stuff, which is going to build those truths into your spirit, into your heart. Or you can choose to listen to foolish stuff, which does you no good whatsoever spiritually. And we're wasting so much time listening to ridiculous stuff that is not helping us spiritually. It says it in verse 7. Irreverent legends, profane and impure, godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales, silly myths. Or we can listen to the good truths of the Word of God. We train ourselves, verse 7 at the end of it, it says, train yourself toward godliness, piety, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Verse 8, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, here we go, spiritual training is useful and of value. Say, useful and of value. It's useful and of value in everything. Everything. And in every way. For it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. Glory to God. We need to have disciplined lifestyles. We need to have regulated lifestyles. We talked about being spiritually fit, training ourselves every single day spiritually, exercising ourselves spiritually, to becoming more and more what? Building up the inward man, building up the heart, building up the inward man, a strong spirit, building up your spirit man. Physical training, what did we talk about? Physical exercise, building that outward man, building those muscles, becoming stronger outwardly. But this, it says, but spiritual training, woo-hoo! God, exercising ourselves unto godliness, spiritual training is useful and of value and in everything. Oh, glory, it pays off in everything, everything, hallelujah. And in every way, for it holds a promise for the present life and to the life which is to come. Spiritual exercise, spiritual training, training yourself, you have to exercise yourself unto godliness. How do we do this, Pastor Debbie? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one. Here's number one. How do we do this? How do we become spiritually fit? One of the ways that you can become spiritually fit, building that strong man, building the man on the inside, the strong spirit in a man will sustain you in bodily pain or trouble. How do we do that, Pastor Debbie? By practicing, exercising
the fruits of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Oh, boy. Did you say the fruits of the Spirit, Pastor Dave? Yeah. Yeah, I sure did. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 22 and 23. Hallelujah. You know, so many of us, we want the power, but until we learn to build a strong character in the Word of God, we'll not house that power. Because I like one of the sayings Smith Wigglesworth said, the anointing won't take you where your character can't keep you. Let me say that again. The anointing won't take you where your character can't keep you. Too many times people want the power, want the power flow through them, use the power. God gives you the power. But let's start taking time to build our character first. Come on now. Let's start taking the time to build our character first. We talked about becoming spiritually fit, where we're building the inward man, or building that strong man on the inside. Yeah. A strong spirit. So we said number one is through the fruits of the Spirit. Learning to exercise the fruits of the Spirit. You know, a fruit on a tree, it does not come about as a full apple or a full peach or a full pear. No. It starts out as small and it develops and it grows. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing when you were born again and got saved. These are fruits of the born again, recreated human spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right. These fruits were deposited in your heart, in your spirit, and they will never become good to you until you begin to what? Exercise, develop these fruits in you. Yeah. We want to build our character first. We talked about becoming spiritually fit. Above all that we're guarding, we're learning to guard our hearts, because out of it flow the forces of life, or the springs of life. Yeah. We want to walk in divine health. Hallelujah. So it comes by number one, by practicing, exercising the fruits of the Spirit, which were deposited in your spirit when you got born again, but now it's up to you to learn to use them, develop them, exercise them, practice them. So let's break it down even more further than that. You got Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit, I'm going to read this out of the King James this time. Ooh, are y'all with me in here today?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and let's talk about your born again, recreated human spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Oh boy. So we're going to take these one by one and break them down a little bit. We talked about the fruits of your born again, recreated spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number one, it talks about love. But what does the Bible say about love? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Let's turn there. It says faith works by love. We talked about building a strong character now. Your faith, the God kind of faith in you, because you were given a measure of the God kind of faith, Romans 12, 3. Every single one of us got the same measure. When we got born again, we got the same measure. It's just according to how much you have use that measure and develop that measure. Everybody's on a different level according to how much you've used that measure of faith that's been given you. So right here, Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6, it says, faith works by love. It says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. What is this love talking about here, Pastor Debbie? It's talking about, number one, God's love for you, knowing and understanding God's love for you. We're breaking down this one word, love, fruit of the Spirit. God's love for you, knowing and understanding God's love for you. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it said, God's love for you is everlasting. And with his loving kindness does he draw you unto himself. God's love for you is everlasting. The greater that you come to know God's love for you, the further you can move forward in your faith and using your faith that he's given you, because you're confident in God's love for you. How about this one? Also, your love for God. That counts too. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, we're to love the Lord our God with all our what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're talking about just the very first fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Our faith works by love. But it's knowing and understanding God's love for you, your love for God. People don't take this serious enough. They say the prayer, they get born again, and then you don't see them anymore. It's because they're not coming to know God's love for them, their love for God, that they're to love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that they understood his love for them and how much he wants to see them fulfilled and doing, having his best in every area of their life and doing his best for what he has planned for them. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And we go out here and we try to get self happy. So knowing God's love for us and our love for him. How about your love for yourself? People get hung up right here. They know what they've done, what they haven't done, what they should have done, could have done, and so they haven't learned to love themselves. We need to learn to love the one who God made you to be. You cannot, will not ever love others until you know you learn to love yourself. When you love yourself, then you'll begin to love others. The love of God will love through you. But too many people will get hung up on their past mistakes. Their past, their mistakes, where they've blown it, where they missed it. God says if you've confessed it, it's under the blood. He throws it behind his back. He does not remember it no more. Who tries to remember it or remind you of it? The enemy, the devil. And he tries to hold you in condemnation with it. But you have to what? Not be ignorant of his devices. You have to outsmart him by knowing who you are and what the Bible says you have and what you can do. So we must learn to love ourselves. Love the you that God made. If you could see yourself in the likeness and the image of God, that's how you were created, in his likeness, in his image, spirit to spirit. His likeness was to function like him. Spirit, he's a spirit being. You were created in his image as a spirit being. So what? He could commune with you, have fellowship with you. He loves, the Father loves to have fellowship with you. That's why he created this one big family, because he loves his family. He loves the fellowship with his family. And he expects us to want to get down before him and love him back. Just let him know, Lord, Father, thank you for loving me, but I just want you to know I love you. And I'm so thankful that you love me first.
We're just on the very first fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about building our character to become what? Spiritually fit. Building and a spirit man stronger. It's the strong spirit in a male or female that will sustain them. A strong spirit. So we need to know love, God's love for you, your love for God. Knowing how to love yourself so that you are able and capable of loving others through you. And then your love for others. In John chapter 13, let's go to John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13. Everybody with me in here? You're quiet on me this morning. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What, Pastor Debbie? Oh, yeah, we talked about the very first fruit of the Spirit, love. Our faith works by love. So knowing God's love for you, your love for God, loving yourself, and loving others through you. Letting God love others through you. Romans 13, 8. Let's go to Romans 13, 8. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The law of love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. So important. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. I'm still reading from the King James Version. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verse 1 also. It says, be ye therefore followers of God, or imitators of God as dear children. Just like a father wants, just like a little child wants to imitate their father. You ever seen them be copycat? They'll copy them and do the same thing they see the dad do. Yeah. Sometimes that's kind of cute. I get some good things that are watching sometimes the little kids when they want to copy their dads. It's too cute. But it says right here, we want to be, therefore be followers or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We're just on the very first fruit, love. But the more that we can come to know and understand this love, his love for us, our love for him, our love for ourselves and for others, it will help build your character so that you're able to walk in that anointing and power that he wants on the body of Christ and has given to us. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. The moment if you got baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you were what? Clothed with power from on high. That's dunamis power. That's miracle working power. Yes, hallelujah. You're capable of working miracles just like Jesus said.
He gave you what? Power and authority over every devil and demon. And he gave you power and authority over every sickness and disease. Luke 9:1, Matthew 10:1. He said, go out and what? Open blind eyes, open deaf ears, cause the lame to walk, raise the dead. Freely you have been given, freely give. It's just knowing what we've already got and knowing how to release from the inside out here what we've already got. You got the power. You don't need to be praying, God, give me more power, more power, more power. No, you got all the power of the creator of the universe living on the inside of you. But now you got to know how to turn that power loose. Woo, glory. Into your situation or for another person or circumstance. Come on now. So we're to imitate God and walk in love. God will never tell us to do anything without knowing that you are very capable of doing it and giving you everything you need by which you can do it with. It's just sometimes we let that flesh get in there and that flesh wants to expose itself and act ugly sometimes. And we just got to what? Bring that flesh. We're talking about disciplined lifestyles. We talked about becoming spiritually fit, a regulated lifestyle, a disciplined lifestyle. We're living in a society that the flesh is so out of control. Oh, my gosh, when I don't have to go out my back door hardly in the neighbor next door. And I'm like, God, help us. When there's an undisciplined world, an uncontrolled world, help us to be disciplined in the midst of it and be an example. They're all out of control. We can be in control. Come on now. We can be in control and show them the love of God. We don't have to act like the world acts. We're not supposed to. They're supposed to see something in you and want it so bad that, my God, it's like a magnet to steel. Woo! They're just drawn right to you, and you're like, my God. That's how it's supposed to be. Are we taking our job serious? Becoming spiritually fit? The strong spirit of a man, male or female, will sustain them in bodily pain or trouble. Sickness or disease. We talked about the very first thing. How do we do this, Pastor David? How do we become spiritually fit? How do we exercise ourselves spiritually? Well, let's start with building a great character first. And we're just on the very first one, love. In the midst of a world that's full of hatred, you can have love. And be so contagious, because so many people, that's all they've known is hatred. Raised in a home with hatred from the time they were little. They hate everyone and everything because of how they were treated. I'm telling you. The love of God that's been shed abroad in you is so much greater, and it can help set those captives free. Yes. Set them free. Yes, you. God's love in you. He wants to show his love through you. There's a world out there that's crying, dying, pleading, begging. It's
so sad. It brings me to my knees when I think about. But then I rise back up and say, okay, Lord. Just like Smith Wigglesworth. If he got home at night, he didn't lead somebody to the Lord and was able to share the gospel or pray for somebody that was sick. He said, Lord, now I'm going to step back out of my door in faith. He said, I'm trusting you. Somebody going to come across my path that I'm going to be able to pray for, save for, lay hands on, get saved. And then he'd go back in and go to bed. But he wasn't satisfied. I like that. He was dissatisfied with being satisfied. Yes. Yeah. If we become more dissatisfied with being satisfied, you say, you know what, Lord? I am your ambassador. Yeah. I am your representative this day. I'm your light and beacon in my neighborhood, in my community. Who do you want me to see? Who do you want me to call? Who do you want me to pray for today? Come on. They're everywhere. You don't have to go very far. I remember working in the shipyard. I had a little sign on my wall in the shipyard, and it said, Psalms 19:11. I think that's the right, I'll have to look it up. Psalms 19, I do know that much. It says, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Well, I can tell you, when supervisors and general foremen come in my office and they read that sign, they would immediately come under conviction if they didn't know Christ. The meditations of their heart, the words of their mouth, it brought them immediately into thinking about their words and the meditations of their heart. Just one little sign on my wall. But I was serious about it. I'd lead them to the Lord. We pray the prayer, they come back to God. They'd get on their knees right in front of my desk in the office. So much conviction would come on them. You think, is that possible, Pastor Debbie? Oh yeah, it sure is. Yes, it is. Wherever Smith Wigglesworth, Maria Woodworth Eder, John G. Lake, I'm telling you, those ones, generals in the faith, when they went different places, people would fall under the power of God. Think it not strange. They would come under conviction if they were lost. Why? Because of the one in you is greater. Greater. That sin in their lives can't stand in the presence of God. Let's stand to our feet. We'll continue this series and pick it up next week. We're going to have fun with this series.